Amen. You ready, big fella Ronnie? You ready? You ready? Let's see your Bibles today. Let's see your Bibles today. Say word.
Word.
Let's see your pens. Lesson plan, lesson plan, lesson plan. Let's turn to Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. You got some more? Got some gum for me? How's everybody doing today? Very good. If you are not doing good, we are very grateful that you are here. This is the place to come. And let me encourage you, if you ever have a really, really bad day and things are not going bad, don't let the devil convince you not to come to church. This is the place you should be. Okay? So, Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you for the sound of Bible pages turning. And we pray you bless us today and encourage us in the name of Jesus Christ. En el nombre de Jesús. Amen. Amen. One of my favorite programs to watch on TV is called Lock Up. Does anybody not know what Lock Up is? Raise your hand. Lock Up is a documentary program, MSNBC program, where they focus on prisons. They go inside the prisons all around the country, around the world, men, women's prisons, youth prisons. And I'm greatly motivated by watching programs about things like that. So yesterday I was watching it and they had four kids, teenagers, 16, almost 17-year-old was the oldest, down to 12. I think the kid was 12. He looked like he was 9. He was a little peep-squeak like that. And they were in their orange jumpsuits. They still had their sneakers on. And they hadn't put the handcuffs on them. And the guard was in their face yelling at them, talking about how much punks they are. And they come there, they're going to be fresh meat for the adults. And just yelling at them, cursing at them. And then they put the cuffs on. And then they took them, all four, into individual cells by themselves. And then they sent in three inmates, adult men, in the cell to yell at them, threaten them. They couldn't really do what they would really do to them because it would be too violent, but they threw them on the ground, took their shoes off. These are my shoes. You know, these ain't your shoes no more. They just berated them. Then they took them out and took them into a unit where a bunch of guys were in their cells. And when they took them into that unit, all the guys were banging on their doors. Now, if you've never been to a prison, the doors are obviously metal doors with a small window, maybe 6 inches wide, maybe 2 feet, top to bottom, plexiglass. And so they could, you know, barely see out with their face. And the guys were all banging on the plexiglass, yelling at these kids, you know, give one of them to me, fresh meat, give one of them to me, yelling, screaming. And so these kids are walking in and they put them all in a cell and they could hear all these guys yelling for them. They want them. And he took them out one at a time and brought them in front of one of the cells where the guy inside is like an animal. He's screaming, banging on the door, saying, give them to me, I want them. And the guard would take the key and put it in he says, you want to go in there with him. It was messed up. And they were basically showing them the obvious. If you mess up, here's what's going to happen. When God calls you to do something and you say no, now you're fighting with God. You got a conflict. You have conflict. Okay. In the story we started last week, we're talking about Jonah. Everyone say Jonah. And in the story, God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. And Jonah said, I'm not going to Nineveh. I'm going to go to Tarshish. So God told Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to preach against it. And Jonah, knowing the mercy of God, that if he preached again and the people repented, that God would forgive them. There was 120,000 people in Nineveh. It was a walled city, wall completely around it, 100 feet high, 45 feet wide. Very evil, wicked people. And so when God told Jonah to go there, Jonah said, well, I don't like the Ninevites because the Ninevites are very evil and wicked to Jonah's people. And Jonah knew if he went there, the people would repent. So what he did is he decided to go the other way. And so we're going to look at this story now. We started this series last week called Love Your City. Say, love your city. Because God has obviously called us to love our city and beyond. But we have to check our heart that if God calls us, do we do what Jonah does? It'd be like God telling me to go to Tijuana, and then I go to L.A. or San Francisco. Okay? I was just watching The Wizard of Oz and the colored version. And one of my favorite parts of the movie is when they go to Munchkin Land the first time. Y'all remember the Munchkins? Okay. So I want to bring that kind of into church today. So I want to ask you to be the Munchkins with me. And since you're sitting down, you can't really do the leg part, but I want you to do the shoulder part. So you're going to go like that. Can y'all do that for me? Okay, so everyone sit up straight. Okay. Okay, here, let me imitate it for you. And there's always relevance to all these silly things we do. So, okay, so that's what you're going to do that, and then you're going to kind of like that, okay? Okay, one, two, three. Okay, that was okay. Now, so here's what we're going to do this time. We're going to do the same thing, but I want you to look at someone next to you while you do it, okay? Okay, ready? Look at someone next to you. Oh, by the way, when you come to church, church is not the place to be cool. You can't be cool in front of God. There's no one cooler than God. So like when you worship, here's how people worship cool. Yeah, praise the Lord. You can't worship. You can't worship like that. You gotta come out of your coolness, okay? So look to the person next to you. And okay, ready? On three. One, two, three. There's a whole lot of y'all that got no rhythm, okay? Y'all like. I was speaking at this youth event. Actually, it was a youth event, and all these little kids got saved. I mean, like 9, 10, 8-year-olds. So I was teaching them how to say Jesus, right, like that. So I said, why don't y'all do the dip, Jesus. And they were like. When God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, he went the other way. He went. I don't want to do that. When God calls you to do something, do you do that? Why don't you go pray for that person? Get up and read your Bible. You're a munchkin. You're munchkin in it. God has called us to minister to our city, every street, every person. You've seen this brochure. It says Pervasive Hope on the front. Pervasive Hope means that for every way someone can be lost, we want to provide a way they can be found in the very place they have ended up. Every street, every person. We don't want to just settle that, okay, we have our seat, we have a nice church, we got stuff, it's comfortable. We want to keep going for it. Okay, we want to show you some statistics about what's going on here in San Diego. County, 38 murders last year, 293 rapes, 484 armed robberies, 400 suicides. Today, on average, today, someone will end their own life. There's more than one a day. There's only 365 days in a year. You don't hear about them. It's just, it's like every day someone's killing themselves. So someone says in San Diego, my life is not worth living. And yet we have a great time in here every week. We want to make sure that we're leveraging the hope that we have and the love we have to its maximum potential. Okay? 9,000 homeless people, 12.3 poverty, 72,000 people last year went under the poverty line in San Diego, 4,500 kids in foster care. Some go from home to home to home, have no family. When they get 18, they're on their own. They call age out the system. The system is not taking care of them. Half of them are going to be homeless. Well, let me say this. If you're a kid in foster care, you have twice as much chance of being homeless. 480,000 people face hunger, which means in San Diego County, almost 500,000 people are unsure whether they're going to eat 3 meals a day, every day in San Diego. So there's a lot we can do. And we don't want to go, So our strategy is put churches around San Diego. This church in North County, they will be watching this sermon, except from the morning, live, and the 5 o'clock, live, up there every Sunday. We want to put them all over San Diego and have people who are part of our church go there and then set up ministries in those communities. We want to have 24-hour, 7-day-a-week online ministry. we're getting this technology, at least I'm hearing about it, that when it's videotaping the sermon, my voice will come out in Chinese, my voice will come out in Arabic. It's a pretty cool technology. So we can have and music just for those cultures and really make the gospel very relevant to all the people around the world. We want to fund missionaries around the world. We want to pay some of the debt off this building, so we're going to raise $30 million. And so we would like you to pray, read this and pray about that, because on March 25th, we're going to have a service and take pledges for over a three-year period that people would fulfill a financial pledge over 3 years, over and above what you give. Our goal is to have that be $30 million so we can do all these things. And so I want to challenge you to be part of the prayer events that we have, be part of all the events to get informed about this stuff. Come to church every Sunday, but read through the brochure, go on the website and find out what it's about. We did a capital campaign like this. It's the only reason we got into this building. Matter of fact, how many of you were here last time we did MP3? How many of you were part of that? How many of you remember Benjamin Cashman? Okay, so Benjamin Cashman is our financial consultant. He is going to be here in church next Sunday. And I'm going to be interviewing him. He's been traveling around the world for the last several years, consulting other churches. So he's going to be here next week. You're going to love, this brother is a star. He's like the biggest churches in the government's been contracting with him. He's the man. So he's going to be here next week. President Obama has been meeting with him. He's going to be here next week. You'll know why that's funny when you see him. But he's a cartoon character. He's a cartoon character. But he's real. He's cartoon, but he's real. He's virtual. But he's going to be here next Sunday, and he's going to be advising us. You'll meet him. But I just want to challenge you to pray about that. But what's the point? The point is that God is saying, Rock, I want you to love your city. And so as we read the story of Jonah, we want to learn some lessons on how to not love your city and how we should love our city. And on an individual basis, how God would challenge you in your role in loving our city. So let's read chapter 1 of Jonah. Chapter 1, it says, verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish in the opposite direction, and he went from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so the ship was broken up. So here's God in heaven watching Jonah, and he says, Jonah, go to Nineveh. And Jonah goes to Tarshish. Now, God is, to me, obviously God has a sense of humor. Y'all know God's funny, right? Okay, just if you ever doubt if God's funny, just notice yourself when you wake up. Take a breath test. Look at your hair, your face. Look at stuff that's on your face that wasn't on your face when you went to sleep. My wife is, everybody's funny when they wake up, but like my wife and I walk by each other in the bathroom like this. Hey. God says, Jesus, look at Jonah. Didn't I tell him to go over there? He thinks he can run from me. He's out in a boat. He's going in the opposite direction. Jesus, what should we do? Why don't you send one of the angels and send a storm? Like you did when I was walking on this, my disciples ran from me. I said, okay. So he tells one of his angels, Gabriel, Michael, Tito, Jermaine, one of y'all do that, go down there and send storm number 302 out onto the water. Okay? The Lord sent the storm. It says, verse 5, the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God. They are polytheistic. They thought about many gods, and they threw cargo from the ship to lighten the load. But Jonah was down in the lowest parts of the ship, and he went to sleep. He went to sleep. So the captain came to him and says, what do you mean, sleeper? Arise, get up, and call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us that we may not perish. And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Number one in your notes, you will have conflict if you run from God. You need to resolve your conflict. And one of your conflicts is that you need to submit to God, because your conflict is with God himself. Your conflict is with God himself. You've heard that verse, if God is for you, who can be against you? You've heard that verse before? Yes. If God is against you, who could be for you, though? Nobody. If you have chosen to fight with God, you're on your own. You can go do all you want. By the way, you can actually get stuff done without God. You can go get start a business. You can get a house. You can get a family. You can do all that stuff, but one thing you will never get is peace. We all know people who have a lot of stuff. Not that if you have a lot of stuff, you don't have peace. But we all know people who have been successful in the world in the sense of material things and success, but they have no peace. And then you know people who have nothing, yet they have peace. And that there are people who have both. They have things and peace. Why? Because it's all blessed of God. And so if you are fighting God, there's one thing you don't have with God, and that is peace. And you will never get it without being on the same page with God. It just won't happen. And the devil will keep telling you, you could do this, you could do that, you could do that and be successful, and you keep achieving things, and you're scratching your head. Why do I have all the things that look good? And by the way, when I was talking to high schools a long time ago, when I was talking to high schools, I was talking about suicide and how the suicide rate in poor neighborhoods is so much lower than the suicide rate in well-to-do neighborhoods. Back then, I don't know the stat today, but one of the frustrations was when you have everything, and you still have nothing, where do you go? Where do you go? And so the devil will tell you to try to get things. Unfortunately, there's a hole in your heart that only God can fill. And so Jonah's saying, I'm going to go do my own thing. And he says, no, Jonah, I created you for a purpose. God created all of us for a purpose. And unless that purpose is fulfilled, there will be something unsettled. There are so many people who have achieved in school a very valuable degree, doctor, lawyer, whatever, or they have very marketable skills and they've chosen to use those skills to do something that is more fulfilling but less money. Why? Because it's what they were made for. It's not about the material things. It's about, am I in the will of God? Can God give both? Most definitely. But you're never going to have the most, so no matter where you're at, there's always more to get. There's always less to get. It's a matter of, are you where God wants you to be? Doing what God's called you to do. So some of you here, God has called you to do something, and you're not doing it. Matter of fact, let's take a quick poll. How many of you know there's something in your life that God wants you to do? Okay? How many of you know, well, we'll get to that in a minute. Well, I got another poll for you in a minute. I just wanted to warm you up for that one. Number two in your notes, resolve your personal conflict by speaking truth. May your words and your actions be the same. Let's keep reading. Verse 8. They said to one another, please let us, for whose cause is this trouble? What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you? Jonah, we figured out you're the guy. Verse 9. He said, I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. I'm going to ask you a question. God tells Jonah to go to Nineveh. Nineveh runs in the opposite direction to Tarshish. He tells the guy on the ship, I'm running from God, yet he says he fears God. Is that consistent? Yes or no? Very good. Okay, so here's a question for you. Are your words and your actions consistent? Is your testimony about your faith, hopefully you have one, consistent with your actions? Is your commitment to God and your verbal commitments and your verbal testimony of your desire to be godly consistent with your intention and your actions? It does not mean that you are perfect, but it means that God looks at you and he understands your heart is going in the right direction. Matter of fact, when you go to bed tonight, and every single night you go to bed, somebody is going to say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. Either God is going to say, hey, man, or girl, you did a great job today. You know, when your friends were gossiping and you walked away, that was good. Or when you started to gossip and then you caught yourself and then you walked, that was really good. I saw you in church. You were worshiping. I was looking at your heart. That was really good. You did a great job praying for your aunt, against whom you have an attitude, but you pray for her anyway by faith. I'm really proud of how you step out on faith and tithe or served or sacrificed on behalf of that person. And every day you go to bed, God is going to either say those kind of things. And by the way, it does not mean you are perfect, because you're not, but your heart was right and he acknowledged your intention. Or the devil's going to say, hey, great job today. Yeah, like when you were talking about your neighbor behind their back, that was really good what you said, how you exaggerated what really happened. And you made all your other neighbors not like them. That was really good. And by the way, when you were in church and you raised the Bible, that was really good how you fooled them, because you just finished watching pornography last night. It's real good how you hide that from your wife. It's real good how you know where to put those drugs under the seat in your car with no one to see it. You did a great job today. Tomorrow's going to be better. I got some good lies for you to tell. I got some people, some character of other people you can slander. And I got some new slick ways of tearing people down. I'll see you in the morning. Every night, one of those two things is going to happen. And it's all about, are you living consistent? It's all about what decision you make. That's it. God tells you to go over there and do that, and you go over there and do that, and the devil says, great job. It's up to you. Jonah, look what he did. Verse 10, the men were exceedingly afraid and said, why have you done this? For the men knew that you fled from the presence of the Lord, because he told them. And they said, what shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea was growing more tempestuous. That is a word that I learned today. Tempestuous. Everyone say tempestuous. Very good. I didn't like saying that word. It was messing me up last night. And look what he says. Pick me up and throw me in the sea, and the sea will become calm. For I know. Everyone say, I know. This great tempest is because of me. Jonah says, if you want the storm to go away, throw me overboard. Now, here's my question to you. How many of you know there's something you should be doing that you're not doing? I'll try one more time. This is an opportunity to raise your hand. How many of you know there's something God wants you to do that you should do? Okay. How many of you are willing to do it today? Half the hands. Go do it. You know what Jonah said? I know this is because of me. I know it. Let me encourage you. Whenever you think you're half right, which means you think you're half wrong, it means you're probably 90% wrong. You're always a little worse than you think. You're always a little more wrong than you think and a little less right than you think. You're never as good as you think. Our pride, our sinful nature blinds us. And whenever you think it's your neighbor, it's probably just as much you as your neighbor. Take the high road and say, you know what, I'm going to fix it today. That's my encouragement to you. If God is telling you to do something, get it done. The quicker you get it done, the quicker the blessings come. Look what it says. And this to me is hilarious. Matter of fact, number three in your notes, resolve your interpersonal conflicts by asking forgiveness. In other words, settle your differences with other people. Jonah, because of his sin, and because of him running from God, and because of God judging him, it was affecting other people. For all of you who have had divorce in your family, parents, you, whoever, it has affected you. For all of you who have alcoholics in your family, it has affected you. Drug addicts, it has affected you. Teen pregnancy, unwanted pregnancy, it has affected you. I've had all of that somewhere in my family. It always affects more than the people who are directly doing it. You don't want to be that person. You want to make sure that you're not intentionally going against God and intentionally bringing pain on yourself and intentionally bringing pain on other people. Turn around and say, God, I want to obey you. And if God's calling you to go help somebody, if God's calling you to do something in your community, in your street or whatever, express his comfort that he's given you to someone else, go do it. Go do it. Because a lot of times you're over here living your life, you just don't know why things are not working out. It might be because God is not blessing you over here because you're not obeying him over here. Let's keep reading. Look what it says. Verse 13. Nevertheless, The men rowed hard to return to land. They could not, for the sea was continuing to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord. And now this, again, to me is a little funny. They got Jonah up like this. They're getting ready to throw him overboard. And they, brother, I hope you can swim. And here's what they said in verse 14. We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, Lord, have done this as you please. In other words, God, we getting ready to throw this dude overboard. Please don't kill us. We're just giving him back to you. Blah, blah. And look what it says. Verse 14. They picked up Jonah and threw the man in this water. And the sea ceased from its raging. The men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to God. In verse 17, the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of a fish for 3 days and three nights. Now, you might be thinking, ain't no way a guy can live in the belly of 3 days and three nights. We're going to talk about that next week, but I'll tell you this, a sperm whale, I believe it's a sperm whale, it's the biggest mammal on the planet. I believe it's a sperm whale, forgive me if I'm wrong, but the tongue is heavier or as heavy as an elephant. Yeah. An elephant. Imagine a whole elephant is a tongue. His heart is as big as a Volkswagen Beetle. Huge, huge whale. Now, I don't think that's the whale, the fish that swallowed him. But there's some big stuff around there. Some big mamma jamma swimming out there you don't know about. But here's the point. If God wants you to go over there, he can do anything he wants. Stop fighting God. And by the way, God did not have to use Jonah. He could say, hey, Jesus, we don't need that guy. Let him go over there. We'll just leave him. Let's get this guy. You know what God said? No. Jonah, I'm sending you over there not only for them, but I'm sending you over there for you. God is going to send you to do something not only for the people he's going to bless through you, but for you. In other words, we have missionaries come here all the time, high school groups, college groups, and they'll come from churches all over the country. They're going to Mexico. And so they'll spend the night somewhere, they'll come to church, then they'll go to Mexico. And we'll always tell them, look, have a great time in Mexico, but just know this, you're not going to change Mexico. Now, I don't think they really think they're going to change Mexico, but really what you need to pay attention to, especially if this is your first time, is that Mexico is going to change you. The biggest impact is going to be what happens to you. And so my encouragement to you as we think about loving our city, that it's way more than just coming here, that you think, Lord, you want me to do this thing. I'm not sure what it is. I'm not sure how I'm going to do it, but you're asking me to go do this and serve these people or sacrifice or give or whatever or be a part of a prayer meeting, and it's for me. You want to do something in my life. And so as we pray, step one is, Lord, I want to submit myself to you. I want to submit my words to you. Lord, I want to leave here today ready to do whatever you want me to do. I want to stop running away and having you put storms in my life to get me to do the right thing. You know what the storms are. You know what they are. They're not going to go away. God is consistent. Every single day, the sun comes up right on time. Every single day, the sun goes down right on time. Every single day, the birds tweet at the same exact time that they're supposed to on that particular day, depending on the time of the year. Every year, summer, winter, spring, fall comes right on time. The leaves go brown, the leaves go green. The leaves go purple and pink and flower and bloom. The bees come and the bees die. Every single year on time, the fish migrate, the birds migrate, animals hibernate, boom, boom, boom. They're mating seasons, birth seasons, and all that stuff happens like clockwork. Countless cycles, systems happen like clockwork. Why? Not science. God programmed science. He created it, and he got it systematized on time every day. And what does it speak to? It speaks to the consistency and faithfulness of God. Nothing more, nothing less. He can stop the sun today. It comes up because he calls it up. It rains because he calls the rain. What does that got to do with me and you? He is faithful. And he will never stop calling you. He will never stop praying for you. He will never stop asking you to be holy. So all your life you can fight him, he will fight you back. And in the end, if you decide, Lord, I don't want you, then he will finally give you what you want and send you to a place he will never visit called hell. You know, I was talking to somebody. He said, why would a loving God send people to hell? I said, a loving God sends people to hell because he loves them. That don't make sense. It makes a whole lot of sense to me. You know, I love the United States of America. I do not enjoy half as much being outside this country as I believe in the side of this country. You know, I travel and I like right here, and I love coming over the border so much that when I come over the border, I end up spending time talking to the customs agent, and he's always telling me, sir, you got to go, there's more people in the line, because I'm just so happy to talk to the brother or the lady, especially if they're from New York. I always ask, where are you from? I'm from Brooklyn. And I'm sitting there, always start talking about New York. He's like, next. I'm like, brother, I'm not done. I want to talk to you. I want to do it. So happy to be back in the U.S. of A. You got the patch. Yeah, go U.S. of A. USA, USA. I don't want to live in Canada. I don't want to live in Europe. I don't want to live in Mexico. I don't want to live in the Caribbean. I don't want to live nowhere else but right here. It would be unfair for someone to make me live there. So if you don't want to have anything to do with God, wouldn't it be unfair for God to make you live in heaven? Yep. He will let you go where you want. That's why loving God sends people to hell. They send himself to hell. And he grants them their wish. Don't reject God. Some of you already prayed a prayer. Oh, I already prayed a prayer to ask Christ in your heart, but you're not living it. If you prayed the prayer, my son's getting ready to get married 3 weeks from today. No, 3 weeks from yesterday. So 3 weeks from today, I'm going to be a tired black man because I'm going to be up all night with him, and I'm going to come here. I'm going to party all night that night. Imagine the day after he gets married, he says to his wife, let me not use my son. Because he'll get back to him. Let's say a guy marries a girl, and right after they get married, the guy says to the girl, the woman, how many times can I cheat on you and us still be married? If a guy said that to a woman, I would say the guy never got married. He went through a ceremony, but he never got married. Marriage is not the certificate. Marriage is the commitment. Jesus, I'm committed. Either you are or you aren't. And the only way you can know is if you're going to Nineveh, like he told you. But if you're a munchkin, don't get married. Stay single. Play the field. Your life will be a mess, but stay, not because you're single, but because you're being buck wild. That's what I mean. So in a minute, we're going to pray. And here's my challenge to you is to say, Lord, I surrender. For whatever reason, you surrender. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank you for your love, and we thank you that you are so patient with us. We spend so much of our time running from you, complaining, living life like a munchkin. And one day we won't need to complain anymore because we'll be right where we want, in a place where we'll never see you again. And you'll give us what we ask for. But Lord, I know no one wants to live in eternity without you, and no one wants to live here on earth without your blessing. If you want to do what Jonah didn't do, which is go where you're supposed to go and do what you're supposed to do and surrender who you're supposed to surrender to, I want you to pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. God loves you so much, and he would never ask you to do something he didn't equip you to do, and he would never ask you to do something that isn't for your good and the good of other people. So in the privacy of your heart, if you would like to surrender, and you would like to lay your life down at the Lord's feet, pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I surrender. I give up fighting. I pray, dear Jesus, take over my life. I surrender my pain to you. I surrender my worries to you, my rebellion, my sin. Jesus, be my Lord and my Savior today. Take over everything in my life. I lay it at your feet. In a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand up if you prayed that prayer. And as you stand, you are resurrecting to a new life. So right now, eyes closed, heads bowed. If you prayed that prayer, just stand to your feet and acknowledge God's forgiveness in your life. Acknowledge His grace in your life. God bless you. Stay standing. God bless you. 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 Very good. God bless you. We see you all over the room. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. Some of you hear a little voice in your head saying you don't need to stand. And that same voice is going to tell you you don't need to read the Bible. That same voice will tell you you don't need to pray. Don't listen to the voice. God bless you. Anybody else? Very good. God bless you. God bless you. Good. 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 Now in a minute, I'm going to ask all y'all who are standing to come down to the altar. And as you do that, I'm going to ask everybody else. We just want to cheer them and encourage them. So right now, come up out of your seat. Come on down to the altar. And let's give them a hand. There. Come on down. God bless you. Stay right there. God bless you. How you doing? Well, you can go back there and talk to them. Stay right here. Stay right here, okay? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You guys can face this way.